you're going to do. Bless the power of your word today now in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. If you have your Bible, open it up. I'm going to read a couple verses of scripture. Open it up to John 14, starting around verse 12. And then I'm going to end up in Mark chapter 9. I want to talk to you again this morning about hoping again. And I also want to take an opportunity to tell you today is the day when the children are not next door. I want to encourage every one of you parents that you must be leaders in your home as well. You can't get everything into your children from an hour and a half a week. As great as our children's leaders are, and I think they're awesome, I think we have some of the very best. They love your kids. They don't have any ulterior motives. Saying all that, they still can't get into your children what you are called to get into them every single day. You're called to create in your home a place where they can know the Lord. They can see you know Him. They can see you seek Him. Listen, I remember hearing a testimony of a man that was given a eulogy of his dad after he had died. He said, "I remember three things about my dad. I caught him. I see him kissing my mom. I saw him on his knees in the morning praying. And then I saw him on his knees again." Let your kids see the demonstration of God working in your life. Come on. Amen, parents? Amen. And you will inspire them. Listen, when we were talking about sending Garrett off to L.A., I was so worried that I was going to send him out there and he was going to be messed up. He's going to go to L.A. He's going to come back with, you know, crazy stuff going on with him. I thought, oh, dear God. But I learned one thing, that when I release my kids into the working and the hand of the Lord, that God does something in them that I could not do. So you are called as a parent to encourage, to download into your children the things of God, and to give them opportunities to love and serve the Lord. Are you with me on that today? I love this chapter in John chapter 14. I won't be long this morning. I want you just to listen to me, because what I'm saying, I believe it will impact your life. And I believe that the words, you might want to write down some of these scriptures, because you're going to go back later and you're going to say, man, I'd like to memorize that scripture. That's a great word. But this chapter of John, chapter 14, is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. It's a chapter that Jesus really reveals many things about himself. He starts off and he talks to people. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I want to encourage every one of you today, no matter where you are, what you're facing, Jesus says, don't let your heart become troubled. He says, don't let it be. That means you have the opportunity to let it be something else. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions, great places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. And then he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you're going to be also. Isn't that great news today? And then Peter says, I don't know where you're going. How do I know to get there? And Jesus said to him, listen to me. There's many people that are saying today, even within the church, there's many ways to God. No, there are not. There is one way. Jesus said, I am the way. In verse 6, chapter 14, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One way to Christ, one way, one Savior, one Lord, His blood that saved you and I, His blood that was shed on Calvary. And then he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father, and from now on you know Him, and you have seen Him. And Philip said, Lord, how do we know the Father? Jesus said, have I not been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, he said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, the works, believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And here's the verse that I just want to focus in on. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And a lot of people end right there. Ask anything in my name. He said, I'll do it. Listen, there's part B to that sentence. He says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Oh, praise God. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then he capsulizes it right at the end of verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth whom the world they can't receive because it is neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. Come on, say, I know him. You know him, for he dwells in you, and he will be in you. He's just not somebody that's tagging along with you. My brothers and my sisters, he's in you. You're packing wherever you go the power of God's Holy Spirit. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. That means he's not going to just leave you on your own, destitute, without. But he's saying, you can ask what you will, and if you ask it to glorify the Father, ask me. I won't leave you out hanging on a string. I'm going to come to you, and you're going to see the fruition of what you have asked me in your life. Come on, do you believe that today? And I believe that we are in a season like never before where God is prompting us to believe him for things that we could never do or see in our own strength. Not just for us. This is not a personal or a self-satisfactory thing or a selfish thing. And there's nothing wrong with asking him for things in your life. There's nothing wrong with asking him for a car or a house. I believe God for all of that. But the Bible says, Jesus says, if you'll seek first his kingdom, he'll give you all that other stuff. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to connive. He'll give it to you when you seek his kingdom first. I'm not talking about manipulating. God, if you give me this, then I'll do that for you. I remember when I first got saved, I remember going to a carnival, and they had that big roulette wheel over there. I thought, now I got Jesus. I'm going to make some money on this. I went over and laid my stuff on that thing, and I said, turn it. I don't even know. That's been so long ago. I've not been to a carnival since. And that thing didn't end up on my number, and I lost my money. And I thought, God, where are you? I thought you said I could ask anything. But I forgot the rest of the verse. That it might glorify, the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I want to encourage somebody today that maybe you've just been asking for things that you're off base. If you align them up with the power of God's Word in your life, he will do some things for you. Woo! Come on, somebody, that you can't even imagine. And he says greater things. And when he says greater things, he's just not talking about more sensational, but he's talking about Jesus creating a victorious church, not one that's cowering down. And the promise seems impossible, but do you know that on Peter's first sermon that more people's lives were converted than during the whole ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth? Greater things shall ye do. And Jesus not only comes to give us forgiveness, he comes to bring deliverance in and through our lives from the strongholds, from the things that hold us back, from the things that tell us you can't, you won't, you'll never be. He's come to set you free from that. He has come to bless your life. And I'm telling you, I was so excited on Thursday night when I saw Jennifer up here speaking, because I've seen where she's been. I've watched her walk through what she walked through. And I want to tell everyone, I want to look you right in the eye. If God could do it for her, he could do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. He will bless your life. He will lift you out of the gutter, and he'll put you up where he has called you to be today. Acts 10:38 says, Jesus, he went about doing good, and he healed all that were oppressed of the enemy, of the devil, because God was with him. 1 John 3:18 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be impossible, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because you're asking in Jesus' name, not for yourself, but for the Father may be glorified in the Son. And Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, come on, say, In all these things, we are more than conquerors. You're just not a conqueror. Come on, you're more than a conqueror. When Brad and Ben went up on that hill, they were conquerors. But when they came down on the other side and got the medal around their neck, come on, how many of you know they were more than a conqueror? And God hasn't called you just to get up and to exist and say, I'm a Christian. He's called you to be more than just a normal Christian. He's called you maybe to pack up your bags for a year and go to China like Matt did. Come on. He's called you like Paulie Lemondole up in the sound booth today, and in a week from tomorrow he gets on a plane and he heads to Nepal. I'm telling you, 8 months ago he didn't even know where Nepal was. He thought it was another Italian way to say his name. Hey, Nepal. But now he's going. Because he's asked to glorify the Father in the Son, not just for himself, but to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world and to share it with people. Because when the word of the Lord goes forth, it shall not return void. Amen. Jesus was having a debate with his disciples and some religious folks in Mark chapter 9 and verse 16. He says, what are you arguing about? Jesus says. He says, a man in the crowd said, teacher, I brought you my son, who's possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I met that guy in Dunkin' Donuts the other day. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. He says, oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, hey, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. And then he says this to Jesus. He said, but if you can do anything, take pity and help us. And Jesus, I love the reply, he says, if you can, what you talking about? If you can, you're looking at the one who called the earth into existence. If you can, you're looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're looking at God incarnate standing on the face of this earth. And immediately the father said, he says, I believe. But he said, help my unbelief. Isn't this where we get tripped up sometimes? Isn't this where we find ourselves? I know he can, but will he? I hear it in other people's lives, but is it for me? And I want to encourage, I want to inspire somebody today to walk out of here with your head up, your shoulders back, and say, I'm going to do something great for the Lord. We are challenged. We get this challenge that comes across us by earthly doubt. We believe sometimes like those who are around us. We are affected by the people that we are exposed to. And it sometimes has this propensity to change our belief system. And now, listen, I'm not saying that you don't hang around with the unsaved. But the Bible says that you're not to be yoked up. You're not to be connected. Jesus said in Mark 9:19, he says, you're an unbelieving generation. He's speaking to the culture. And he could have said that then as well as now. Our culture has been satiated with the world's influence where we don't believe him or that he can do anything supernatural powerfully in and through our lives. He says, oh, unbelieving generation, how long do I have to stay with you? How long do I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And I'm telling you, you and I need a healthy balance of this in our lives. Because if you always have the negative coming in you and you never have those people around you that will lift you up, that will inspire you. I remember I said it a few weeks ago, 4 things about that causes an airplane to fly. Weights. What is it? Do you remember? You're not listening, do you? Thrust, lift, drag. Some people got a lot of weights and drags in their lives, but you don't have any lifters and thrusters. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. That doesn't mean that you don't hang out or fellowship, but that means don't be yoked with them. Hello? This means more than just marriage. And it's not like it's negating marriage. Come on, somebody. If you're dating, I don't care how good the guy is. I don't care how good looking he is. If you're a Christian and you love Jesus and you're hanging around with a guy that does it, you say, well, someday he'll... You are barking up a dead tree. And guys, you're coming to church, you're loving it, and she walks, you see her, and she's mad, she's fine. I know she's the woman of my dreams, and she doesn't love Jesus. You are heading down the wrong path. The Bible says don't be yoked together with an unbeliever, because what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Because those influences changes the ability for you to believe God to do great things in your life and in your family. Hey, you can amen me if you want. I amen myself. Amen. If I was my wife's father, I mean, he told her when I was dating her, he says, if that boy doesn't go to church, dump him. I remember when she told that to me. It hurt my feelings. I was a good guy, good-looking guy. Not as good-looking then as I am now, but a good-looking guy. And she came to me and she told me, what? What you talking about? All right, I'll go to church then. Well, I fixed him. I got saved, filled with the power of God's Spirit, pastor of church in Jesus' name. Come on. Don't hang around with people that zap and pull out of you what God wants to do in you. And then we believe sometimes that God is unpredictable. We think, well, he will sometimes. And we lose our hope that he can do what he has said he would. Mark 9:22, he says he often throws himself into the fire or the water to kill him. But he says, if you can do it, if this is the day that you choose, take pity on it, help us. And I love how Jesus said, if I can, I can. We try to make this deal with Jesus. Well, if you could do something here, maybe you can help us now. But he's willing to help you all the time. David even was troubled with this in Psalm 10:1. He says, Lord, why do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And then we think maybe he'll do. Maybe God is going to be there. Mark 9:24, immediately the boy's father said, I do believe, but Lord, help me to overcome my challenge of unbelief. And isn't this the moment where we lose hope in our lives? James says it so well in James 1:6. When you ask, believe. Don't doubt. Believe. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man. He's unstable in every way. You can't have it one way and have it another way at the same time. You have to believe and trust the Lord and have faith in him and believe that he's going to do something you can't do in your own. When you can do it in your own strength, you don't need him. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. You don't need faith if you can see it, touch it. But faith comes in when you have no idea how you're going to do it, how you're going to get there. Faith is not based on the outcome, but it's based on who he is. Not what I can do, but what he can do. Oh, I like that. So Jesus tells us how to get back, how to be certain. He says, you have to have and know that authority comes through the name of Jesus. No other name. Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. He said, you deaf and mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter again. Here Jesus models for you and I spiritual warfare. That he has given you and I the access to his name. And when we speak his name, things happen that we can't do in our own strength. His name, his power is bigger than our problems, our depression, our sicknesses, our relational brokenness. Do you think that when you ask Jesus to heal your relationship, your marriage, your home, that it's not his will? Of course it is. And you can ask him. You can declare that to come forth and to see it happen in your life. Verse 26 says, the spirit shrieked, convulsed, and violently came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Oh, I love that. I love that story. I want to encourage you today. Stand back from your life. Stand back from where you are. Stand back from your personal wants and desires. And what is it in your life that you can ask God for that if He doesn't come through, nothing else is going to happen? And believe Him to do it. The disciples had tried to do that. But we have to know as well is that our confidence in Him comes through our relationship with Him. Mark 9:29, He said this kind only comes out through prayer and through fasting. Your level of faith and belief and trust and the relationship that you have with Him will only go to the next level when you come to that place of communing with Him, fasting, and believing Him to do something you cannot do. And I'm not talking about getting down on your knees and say, God, I need this, I want this, and when are you going to do this for me? I'm talking about coming to Him, having relationship with Him, speaking with Him, letting Him speak to you and have His way in your heart and in your life. And when you do that, faith begins to build. When you read His Word, when you talk to Him, when you fast and you pray, you get closer to God. He doesn't get closer to you. It's not for God to come closer to you. It's for you to come closer to the Lord. Amen. And faith will move that mountain. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. My perspective changes when I have the Word of God inside me, directing me and leading me. Because now it becomes a part of my life. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate upon it day and night and do all that is in it. All that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success, as it is written. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. John 20:31, but these things are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Romans 1:17, for in righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 10:15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. It's written. When the Word becomes a part of who you are, faith and confidence and hope begins to build in you. 1 Corinthians 15:54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. And you can stand in confidence and know today that when trouble comes your way, when impossibilities come your way, you can stand up and say, it is written. And if I ask anything in His name according to His Word, He hears me. And if He hears me, He gives to me the petition that I ask for, that it may bring glory to God in the Son. I believe this today. And then we have to know that our hope comes through the cross. Mark 9:31, He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed in the hands of men. They will kill Him. But after 3 days, come on, He's going to rise again. This is the story that we live by. There's no other name among heaven and earth whereby we must be saved. There's no other name but Jesus Christ, who has come into the world as both humanity and divinity, and hung on a cross and gave every drop of His blood so that you and I can live for Him and see what man says impossible, God says is possible. I like that. Colossians 2:15, He says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Come on, how many of you are happy and thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ today? You don't have to live hopeless. You don't have to live empty. You don't have to get up every day and say, well, it's just another day. I'm going to get up, go to work, come home, watch whatever on TV, go to bed, get up. God wants to lift you up to another level. It's no coincidence today that Matt came here today and shared that. I believe today is a day. Last week we had the altar call if somebody needed a miracle in their life. I was shocked at the amount of people that responded. But today, God wants you to know that you can go farther than you ever thought. You can do things for Him that you never thought were possible. I said this in the first service about Paulie. Next Monday, he leaves to go to Nepal. Man, a year ago, if you would have brought that, he would have laughed in your face. Right, Paulie? Don't leave me hanging out here alone, bro. Come on, bring that Italian swagger out up there a little bit. I need a little help. But all it took was a missionary to come. I remember when Chuck and Helen Todd came on a Thursday night, they started talking about how God moved in other countries and used them. You've heard me say it when I've been away on mission trip. You've heard others say it when they visited. Maybe this is your moment. Maybe this is your time. Maybe you're a young person here and you're just waffling in life. You don't know where to connect. You feel disconnected. God is saying, I've got a bigger plan for you today. Maybe you're in your middle age. Maybe you are retired. Maybe you think, okay, now what? I don't get that retirement anyways. I think you should get retreaded and keep on going. God has a miracle for someone today. God has something impossible with man, but possible in your life with God. Would you close your eyes, bow your head with me? I'm going to close in a moment. Listen, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, none of this can ever take place in your life if Jesus Christ isn't first in your life. You may have heard a whole lot of other things in your life, but nothing or no one is more important that will take you and bless your life and do things for you that you never thought possible, transform you. His name is Jesus. He loves you. He wants to be Lord and Master of your life, and you can ask Him to be that today, right where you're at. I'm talking to you today. You've never given your heart to Jesus right where you're at. Just open up your hands. With your eyes closed, your head bowed, in honest reverence before Him. Say, Lord, I want You in my life. And let your heart believe what your mouth is speaking. I want You in my life. I need You in my life. You could be in here and your life could be a mess. The church is full of people that were former messes. If you look at your eye, open up your eyes and look this way, you'll see the chief of one. But when Jesus touches your life, from that point on, everything begins to change. He wants you. He loves you. Right where you're at, say, Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Forgive me of my sin. I need You. I ask You to be my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to ask the prayer folk to come down, stand at the front. Before you leave today, if you did that, I want you to come down and tell one of them because they want to pray for you, give you a Bible. Then I want to just, as I'm closing here, to the ones that you need God to change your circumstances, move in your life. He can do what you can't do. He can bring hope back to you again. It's so been on my heart, the hopelessness of humanity. God's not mad at you. You're not in some form of punishment for something that you've done. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He may destroy the work of the evil one. I pray for my brothers and my sisters right now that are feeling that. I pray for those who are hurting in their life. I pray, God, yes, who is like the Lord in all the earth? None like Him. Yes, God. I pray, Lord. I feel somebody weeping today, right? As I'm going to close in a moment, but I feel this in my heart today. I can feel the broken heart of someone today. I want to say to you, your life is not over. Your life is not over. Things are not finished with you. What a plan He has for you. Your presence is heaven to me. Father, I bless your people now today. I ask you to encourage them. I ask you to lift them up. I ask you that you'll speak life and hope into every single one today. I pray that not one will leave here today broken. But Lord, you are the mender of life. You are the healer of humanity. I declare peace and life into the lives of your people today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody said amen. Before you leave today, if you need prayer, come down. If you gave your heart to Christ, I want you to come down on your left, on my right. If you need prayer for anything, you come down. These folks are going to pray and believe God with you. If you want to see Matt, you're going to be, he's in the back already.